Luke chapter number 2. Let's all stand together as we begin reading in verse number 1, Luke chapter 2 and verse number 1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have been so blessed already this morning. Thank you for this Christmas Sunday. Thank you for the beautiful music, Lord, that caused our hearts to think back to the birth of your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for coming, for being willing to come. Thank you for being the Christ. Thank you for being the Savior. Thank you for being Emmanuel. Thank you for being the King and the Governor. And Lord, may you be allowed to be all those things in each and every one of our lives. We pray now, Lord, as we look at the Christmas story, that you'll bless this time of preaching of your word. If there's anyone here today that has not embraced Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that today would be that day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I got a call from Jeffrey this morning, and he was an emotional, proud new daddy. And what a blessing it was to hear from him. I have been telling our folks that now I can do this, but I'm going to take the marquee out front, and I'm going to try using both sides to let the community know about the names of every one of the babies that were born here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in the past year. We may have to get another sign, I'm not sure, but what a blessing that is. I think that I have never heard the news of a birth, and also never had the privilege of going on a follow-up visit to a hospital, go by the nursery, see one of our people bring in a newborn, where somewhere within the conversation, the first time I see that baby, I don't use the word miracle. I think the birth of every child is a miracle. We're going to look this morning at the birth of the Christ child, and I call this message the miracle of miracles. The miracle of miracles. Because the birth of Christ, like the birth of any child, was a miracle, but this was a very special miracle. And this was a miracle that was surrounded by a lot of other miracles. There's never been a birth quite like the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. A lot of unique things happened connected with the birth of Jesus Christ. We see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle that then all came together to produce the greatest of all miracles, the birth of Christ. Let me just give you some information that we ought to be reminded of on Christmas Day. Can I first of all remind you that when Christ was born, we saw the miracle of a virgin birth? The miracle of a virgin birth. I take the time to mention this today because this is one of the foundational doctrines of the Bible. It's a doctrine that ought to be preached and it ought to be defended when it's attacked. The Revised Standard Version of the Bible, that perversion that came out several years ago, took the word virgin out of the Christmas story and put a young woman in its place, the phrase young woman. Well, Mary was not just a young woman, she was a virgin. And Christ was not just born of a young lady, that would not have been unusual at all. But this is the only time in human history where a virgin girl birthed a child. And let me say this, Matthew chapter number 1, verse 18 through 25, and I'll read that to you, tells us about the virgin birth. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. For she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And she knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You say, well then, how did Jesus get in the womb of Mary? This is one of the most amazing of all of the miracles surrounding Christ's birth. The Holy Spirit of God brought Jesus Christ and placed him in the womb of a young virgin girl by the name of Mary. Jesus was man, but Jesus was God. And we have the miracle of the virgin birth. That's just one of the miracles surrounding this miracle of all miracles. Number two, let me point out to you and remind you that on that night that Christ was born, we had the miracle of the angelic announcements. Now, we had two announcements in our Sunday school class today. Brother John Reiser stood up and told about a new grandson, and he did a less than eloquent job. Sister Barbara gave a very detailed, wonderful job of her new babies with all kinds of extra details. And let me say this, both of them were wonderful. But you know what? The night that Cooper John was born, or her two twin granddaughters were born, no angels appeared in the heavens. That only happened at one birth. What a baby announcement. And let me read it to you. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The skies were filled on the night that Jesus was born. God allowed there to be a certain number of angels accompany the angel that made the announcement. And there was singing and praising and rejoicing. And while Bethlehem slept, the only ones that heard it, some of you guys will appreciate this, were the third shift workers. The handful of men that kept everything running while others slept, and God went to some blue collar third shift workers out on a hill watching their sheep and announced the birth of Jesus Christ. And He used angels to do it. So we have the miracle of the virgin birth and the miracle of an angelic announcement. And then let me remind you of another miracle that happened when Christ was born. We have the miracle then of Bethlehem's star. The miracle of Bethlehem's star. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And another very unique thing that God did at the birth of Jesus Christ was he assigned an exceptionally bright star to lead the wise men over to the place over which Jesus lay and where they could find and identify him as the King of the Jews. And on down in Matthew chapter 2 it says, Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, And go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so we have the miracle of the virgin birth. Then we also then have the miracle of the angelic announcement, and then the miracle of Bethlehem stars. All these miracles that each and every one of them by themselves would be spectacular, but they are just complementary miracles. They're not the miracle. We're going to get to that. But we see the miracle of Bethlehem star. Can you imagine? All of a sudden, to guide these wise men from the east, and if you take and go from Jerusalem and draw a line straight east, you'll run right into Babylon. And that is where these wise men probably came from. These were not people that professed Christianity or even really were worshipers of Jehovah God. But they had come upon some copy of Daniel's prophecy and had figured out that in Daniel's prophecy there was a prophesied when exactly Jesus, the King of the Jews, would enter Jerusalem at His triumphal entry. And they were figuring back to when He would be born, and they had a ballpark idea, and they began a journey to search for the birth of a king. And God allowed them to see a star. I was out very early the other morning and got to see that morning star. I think most of you know what I'm talking about, that morning star. The other evening I was coming in across the fields from being out deer hunting, and it was still dusk, and it was actually very cloudy and overcast. But through that, where I could not see another star, the brightest of the first star appeared. And I couldn't help but stand out there and think, that's something like what the wise men saw. The miracle of Bethlehem star. There it stood. And there it led them to Christ. And then it parked itself above where He was, and it led men to Him. And here's another miracle amongst the miracles surrounding Jesus' birth. Let me also remind you of the fourth miracle, the miracle of divine protection. I want to go to an unusual place, and if you'd like to turn over there, you might. Revelation chapter number 12. Revelation chapter number 12. The miracle of divine protection. You see, not everyone was happy that Christ was to be born. Especially in the invisible world, the spiritual world, there was great anger, great hatred. There was a murderous plot being hatched. In Revelation chapter 12, if you'll read along with me or watch as I read the first four verses, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Notice this. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. The woman in Revelation chapter 12 is a picture of the nation of Israel. The dragon that's in Revelation chapter 12 is a picture of Satan himself. And you know what Satan was doing on that first Christmas? He was poised to try to destroy Jesus Christ from the moment of His birth. Now that makes sense then, connecting Revelation chapter 12 to what we know and read about in Matthew chapter number 2. Herod, folks, was driven by Satan himself to try to destroy Jesus Christ. And yet we see the miracle of divine protection. We have that great red dragon who had drew with his tail the third part of the stars of heavens. So we had Satan himself with all his power and a third part of the angels of heaven that had followed him when he was cast out of heaven. Can you imagine the organization? Can you imagine all of Satan and all of his power and all of his followers? And there they were on that one day, poised to do everything they could to destroy Jesus Christ so that He never made it to the cross. Let me read you some of the ways that God divinely protected him. Let me just start out with a very practical one. We read this in our opening. But when Joseph brought Mary to Bethlehem, and they had to come to Bethlehem because they were being taxed, and it was required that they travel, the Bible says that when he traveled with Mary and came to Bethlehem, the Bible says she was his espoused wife, being great with child. And I got to thinking of how many times in the past year I have prayed, my wife has prayed, the people of Blessed Hope Baptist has prayed for the ladies who have gone through pregnancy. And let me say this, can you imagine those of you ladies that have done this, or all of you ladies that have, that your husband comes to you during the last month, the last closing weeks of your pregnancy, and says, we have to take this long trip, this difficult trip, this hard trip. I don't know, and the Bible doesn't tell us. But many times we have in our pictures and on our Christmas cards, Joseph leading a donkey and Mary riding on that donkey. Let me just say this. That type of an animal was a luxury in that day, and we know that Mary and Joseph were very poor. There's probably a pretty good chance that she did not have that type of transportation. And yet she walked a long distance beside her husband, traveled during difficult times, and yet God protected that pregnancy and protected his son. Then you know the story in Matthew chapter 2. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. When you found him, bring me word again that I may worship him also. When they were come to the house, then later on in the chapter it says, when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And I think about the spiritual battle that's going on. Here's Satan, and he is prodding Herod with all of his resources, all of his army, all of his power to destroy the Christ child. And yet God also has things going on in the spiritual realm. And he sends an angel and he says, I want you to appear to the wise men in a dream and tell them not to go back to Herod, not to report what they found. And so there again we see the divine protection going on as God protects Jesus Christ. God protected him against a wicked earthly king, and he protected him against a man that then became a mass murderer. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, and when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word again, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And he arose and took the young child and his mother by night, departed into Egypt. How did he know to do that? The angel of the Lord, divine protection, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. Can you imagine such a horrible thing? And all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. And we see that great red dragon, and he's infested the heart of a king, and the king uses all of the power and armies available to him, and yet we see God's divine hands of protection. First of all, he protects Mary on the trip to Bethlehem. Then he sends an angel to talk to the wise men and tell them not to report to Herod. Then we see him appear to Joseph in a dream. Arise right now. Get up. Get up. Get your child. Get your wife. Not only flee this town, not only flee the coast thereof, but go all the way into Egypt. And then later on we read, of course, that same angel appeared and cleared Joseph to return to Nazareth. But there we see God protecting his son. The miracle of divine protection. These miracles are all surrounding this miracle of the birth of Jesus Christ. Let me give you another miracle. The miracle, I love this, the miracle of Old Testament prophecies fulfilled. I don't know how excited you get about these things, but can I just give you some things to think about? 742 years before the first Christmas, it was told, prophesied, that Jesus would be born of a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7, and he said, "Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." 472 years before the first Christmas, God told how he would be born. 710 years before the first Christmas, it was prophesied where he would be born. The city of his birth was pinpointed. Micah chapter 5 verse 2, "But thou Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from old, from everlasting." Wow. 740 years before the first Christmas, the divine nature of his birth was predicted. I like this. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." We read in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." So we see that it's prophesied before that he would be born of a virgin, prophesied before the city, the town was pinpointed, his divine nature, that he was going to be the everlasting Father, that he was going to be divine, God with us. The mighty God was going to be born. 712 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, the purpose, don't miss this, the purpose of his coming was foretold. I love Isaiah 53. Can I read part of it to you? "Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. We like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And the last verse in Isaiah 53 says, "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." So here we see all of these wonderful miracles that surround this greatest of all miracle. And of course, that greatest of all miracle was that Jesus Christ, the God-man, was born and delivered to this earth to bring salvation for each and every one of us. See, not only the birth of Jesus Christ, not only the birth of Christ is a miracle, but it's surrounded by miracles. But let me just go on to say this. He had a life of miracles. There were miracles all through his life. How in the world could the Jews have missed it? All of the healing, all of the supernatural things that happened surrounded him constantly. I mean, if a man was to take a little boy's lunch and feed over 5,000 people, don't you think something ought to click, that maybe there's something special about this man? We saw miracles about surrounding his death. We saw the miracle then of his resurrection, the miracle of his eternal existence at the right hand of the Father. This continues to be the greatest miracle ever known to man. A God-man was born. A God-man was born. Jesus Christ was born. The Word made flesh, dwelt among us, died for our sins, was buried and rose again. John the Beloved penned these words after the death of Christ. I read them in Sunday school. Let me read them again. "He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Preacher, what did you want to accomplish this morning? I wanted you to understand what this season is really about. It's a time to look back. It's a time to understand. It's a time to be in awe of not only the miracle of Christ's birth, but all of the miracles that accompanied this miracle. Jesus Christ is still in the miracle business today. The salvation of a soul is a miracle. You realize that Jesus wants to do a miracle for you today if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you came in here today and maybe your idea of Christmas was Rudolph and Frosty and old Saint Nick, maybe we've helped hit a reset button, because the honest truth is that is not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about the fact that a Savior was born. That Savior grew up, and that Savior lived a perfect life, and that Savior died on an old rugged cross, and that Savior was buried, but that Savior rose again, and He sits on the right hand of the Father now, and He holds out to the entire world a Christmas gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you've never received that gift, would you let God add to the list of Christmas miracles one more miracle this morning? Will you say, "I'll let God do the miracle of salvation in my life today"? And as we close, let me say this. Christians, I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you are spiritually, every single one of you. I don't know what battles you're facing. But I promise you this. God doesn't stop working miracles in our lives when we get saved. Matter of fact, I think that's just the beginning of a miracle. There's men in this room that you need God to do a miracle in your life. You know what? God's in the miracle working business. There's ladies in this room that, you know what? God needs to do a miracle in your heart, a miracle in your life. Guess what? God's in the miracle business. Christmas is miracle time. Why not let God do that miracle? Hey, teenager, you say, "I'm saved, Brother Jerry." Does God want to perform a miracle in your life? You better believe He does. There may be something right now that you're facing or you're fighting or you're being challenged by, and you say, "Brother Jerry, I can't overcome it. I can't beat it." Yes, that's right. You can't by yourself, but the miracle worker's here. The miracle worker says, "You know what? I'm going to tell you what. Examine me from the time that you read about me in Genesis through Revelation, and the one thing that you'll walk away with is this. I can and I do miracles on a regular basis." Jesus Christ may want to do a miracle in your life. There may be a little child, fourth grader, fifth grader, sixth grader, sitting in here. I don't know what the need of your life is, but let me tell you this. By the way, let me say this, folks. Little people have real big problems sometimes, and those problems are real in their life. There's a Savior that loves you, and He wants to do a miracle in your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. The miracle of miracles, the birth of Jesus Christ. Are you here today without Christ as your Savior? Jesus Christ would love to save you. What better time to be saved? I mean, is there a better Sunday? Here we are celebrating the birth of Christ, Christmas Sunday. Let me say this. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you to be saved today. Is there anyone that would be here today and you say, "Preacher, you know, if I was to die right now, I guess I just don't know what would happen to me. If I was to die right now, I guess I just don't know what would happen. I don't know that I've been saved. I don't know that I am saved." But the Lord spoke to my heart during the message this morning, and you know what? I know God's working on me right now, and I know I need to be saved. Please pray for me, preacher. By the way, I won't call your name. I won't embarrass you. I won't come and get you. But I will pray for you. Would you raise your hand? "I'm not saved. Please pray for me, preacher. Please pray for me. God's working in my life. I'm not saved. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved." Anybody at all? Anybody here today that's not saved? Pray for me. Anyone at all? All right. Let me ask this. Nobody's looking. Brother Jerry, when you talked about the fact that Jesus Christ still does miracles in the lives of Christians, there's a miracle that I need. You don't have to tell anybody. But there's a miracle right now that you need God to do in your life. Could you slip your hand up so I could pray for you? There's a miracle. There's a miracle. Something I need God to do in my life. Heavenly Father, you've seen these hands. I'm so glad that when I pray, that I can pray to a God that's never looked at a situation, thrown up his hands and said, that's impossible. There's no limit to your power, and there's no limit to your grace, and there's no limit to your goodness. And so I ask, Lord, that you would come alongside these, your children. And Lord, you know intimately each and every situation. These folks need a miracle. I pray that you would allow them during this Christmas season to see a miracle in their lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.